Open your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11 as we continue in our series on heroes of the faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Isn't it amazing that Uncle Susan got saved? Wonder about Aunt John. That's the one I'm trying to... Appreciate very much those who help out each week in our skits to help us take the Word of God and bring it down to where we live, to apply it to our daily lives and be able to understand it in a very practical fashion. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read one verse, and that's verse 21. Hebrews 11, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord, when we think of salvation, there are not sufficient words in the human language to express the wonder, the way in which Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, would come down and of his own voluntary will give his life as a sacrifice for all of us who deserve to die and go to hell. But God, we thank you so much for your love for each one of us. And God, we thank you for the many that are here this morning that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And God, it doesn't matter whether we're old or young in terms of when we accept you. But God, it does matter that we all accept you. And Lord, help us not to look back over the past with regrets. But God, help us today to demonstrate a wondering faith. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's hero of the faith is an interesting character, to say the least. He's the one whose name meant supplanter. Not necessarily the first character trait you would think of when describing a man of faith. Yet God, through his divine sovereignty, did a work in his heart, changing him from Jacob to Israel, from a supplanter or one that would hold on to a prince of God. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. To look very briefly at the time at which Jacob became Israel. In Genesis chapter 32. And in verse 24. The Bible says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. We think of Jacob and the wondering faith that he demonstrated. It should serve as an encouragement for every single one of us here today. Because as we look at the past of this hero of the faith, we realize that it was not a perfect, ideal scenario. We know, as we were examining last week, all of the strife and turmoil that existed in their household between him and his twin brother Esau. We understand the way in which that for a measly bowl of pottage, he was able to give that to Esau and thereby steal from him the birthright. We also saw the way in which he deceived his father so that he would get the final blessing. And yet all of that was a part of God's plan, but Jacob chose to supplant or chose to try and get one step ahead of God instead of allowing God to do things in his perfect timing and according to his perfect path. But now we understand in this passage that Jacob has since gone. We know that Jacob has now gained two wives, Rachel and Leah, both daughters of Laban. We know that he has now learned to calm down and to do things in a more orderly fashion. And as he's coming back, having left Laban and taken his wives and his cattle and seeking to return to his homeland, all of a sudden, there in the middle of the night, he has a struggle. He is in a wrestling match. And here we see that there is an important lesson that God is using to teach him, and that is that you, Jacob, are not the one who is always to be in control. You, Jacob, are not the one who is always going to set your own course for your life. And there, as he wrestled with God, in this passage, we understand that God reached out and touched his thigh. And then for the rest of his life, he was limp as a continual reminder of his past. So that as he reflected on where God had brought him from, he would have a greater appreciation for where God would bring him to. And at this point in time is when he was no longer looked at as Jacob the supplanter, but now as Israel, as a prince with God. Perhaps this morning, if you were to look back at your life, perhaps in your childhood or maybe even in your not too distant past, in the past few years, you would see a lot of things that you know were not pleasant things. You know, were not things that were pleasing to yourself, nor were they pleasing to God. Maybe if you were to examine your past honestly this morning, you would say, wow, if only I had made that decision differently. Or perhaps you'd look back this morning and you'd say, you know, if only I had received the Lord as my Savior sooner in life and been able to avoid all of those pitfalls and tragedies that I encountered. Well, I want to remind you this morning that none of us can remotely come close to changing anything about our past. A pretty obvious statement. But the wonderful thing is that if you today will truly put your faith in God and allow Him to guide you, the future is as bright as are the promises of our God. Amen. You think of what it was that Jacob had gone through, and yet God used him, the supplanter, to become a prince with God. You think of the wonder of the past. You know, when we think about looking back and we say, well, I'm just not so sure. How is it that God has accomplished all of these things? How is it possible that God has been able to create this world in which we live? And you go out and you have opportunities to look around you and you see this entire world. And of course, as we are here in the Northern Virginia area, entering into the springtime season and seeing all of the trees and the flowers beginning to bloom, and realizing our God created all that we see around us in terms of this natural world. It boggles the mind. The wonder of creation. Of course, now some of you are thinking, yeah, if only I didn't have these allergies and didn't have all these other things about it, maybe I could enjoy it a little bit better. But if you can look beyond that, hopefully you can have a great appreciation that our God spoke into existence this wonderful world in which we live. Then if you were to stop and think of the wonder of the incarnation, how was it possible that Jesus Christ, God the Son, could come to this earth as truly the God of the universe and yet humble himself and be born of a virgin and live on this world for 33 years? The wonder of the incarnation. Then we think beyond that of the wonder of the redemption. You know, it is it would be an awful world in which to live if we had no hope for the future. If Jesus Christ had not come, if he had not given his life and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago, it would be a very bleak, dark picture painted before every one of us this morning. But stop and reflect on the wonder of the redemption, that Jesus Christ has bought us back, having paid for us with his precious, spotless blood, the blood of the Lamb of God. And through that, we can know the wonder of salvation, the joy of having all of our sins forgiven by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now I'd like for you to skip forward a little bit in the life of Jacob and go to Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48. There are some principles of faith that I would like for us to examine. As Jacob is now approaching the end of his life, the time has come for him to anticipate his departure from this earth. He's bringing near his children and even some of his grandchildren, seeking to bless them. But there is a wonderful message of faith that rings loud and clear in Genesis chapter 48 that ought to challenge each one of us this morning. First of all, in Genesis 48 and in verse 3, the Bible says, Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. What is the cause of faith? The cause of faith is found in the Word of God. That's what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by thee, say it with me, Word of God. Jacob realized that his life was purposeless until he met God. He acknowledged that the only way he was able to have a happy ending to his earthly terrain was the fact that he had now put his faith in the word of an almighty God. What is it that you're trusting in this morning? Are you simply seeking to look back at what you have been taught over the years, at what you have heard about this world's philosophy? I would challenge you this morning that the only way you're going to have the faith that will be a wondering faith is by coming to put your faith and trust in the holy word of God. And yet how comforting it is to know that as we do learn more about this book, that then we can be that much more prepared for whatever life will throw at us this week. But not only do we see the cause of faith, but if you'll look down in verse 11, we'll see the joy of faith. Here, keeping in mind, it's impossible for us to take some 12 chapters relating to Jacob and try and preach on all of them in 30 minutes. So if you will bear with me. But keeping in mind, when we think about the way in which his sons schemed up and decided to take Joseph and sell him off, and then we realize a number of years had gone by. Now, all of a sudden, he has been reacquainted and has now come to dwell there in the land of Dothan, in the region there of Egypt, as specified for him by Pharaoh. And we realize that that Jacob's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, are now approximately 20 years old, having been born prior to the time that Jacob came back to meet his son Joseph. And so now we see in verse 11, Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. It has been said that the man who walks by faith in God's word will not be an old grouch when he grows old. Amen. You ever thought about that? What is it that should be our motivation for everything that we do? It ought to be, I can find joy regardless of my circumstances because my joy comes from my faith in my God. Jacob had no guarantee from a human standpoint that he would ever see Joseph again. We know that his brothers had come back and had lied about Joseph, had brought back his coat of many colors, having dipped it in the blood of an animal, trying to pass it off as his own blood. And Jacob did not know otherwise, and so therefore he mourned the death of his son. What has happened now? God has blessed him. And here, as he's on his deathbed, he is able to appreciate the joy of faith. It's also interesting when Joseph tries to change what his father's plan is, as Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, are there. And we look down in verse 17. The Bible says, when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. If we were to read over those verses too quickly, we would miss the point that Jacob is here trying to make. And that is, when we think about this matter of faith, there is a confidence in knowing that God's way will work out. Joseph was trying to rationalize from a human standpoint. And he was trying to say, you've forgotten which one is the oldest. Which one is the one who is to receive the blessing? And Jacob said, no, you have forgotten what God's promise is and how that has been passed down and the way in which God, in his divine providence, chose to change the order there. And he was confident, Jacob was, in his faith, in a God that was going to work things out according to his perfect plan. But as we think about Jacob, he's gone through this process here. He's now taking his grandchildren. He's blessing them. And of course, in chapter 49, we would find him blessing the rest of his children. But I want us to now look at, going back over the similar passages here, and look at the wonder of the future. What it was that he was thankful for, and what it was that he was confident that God was yet going to do. If we go back to verse 4, where we see there, verse 3, that God appeared unto him, he said, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. He is thanking God for his presence in his life. When it comes to the world in which we live, there are plenty of things out there that can scare us. There are plenty of things out there that can discourage us. There are, frankly, are plenty of things out there that can squelch our desire to do what is right. But if we will acknowledge the presence of God in our lives, we'll find the strength to be able to go on. We think of what it is that allowed Jacob to be able to accomplish what was never done before, who the one whose name was changed to become a name that is known worldwide today, the country of Israel, the people of God, the prince with God. Why was that? Because there was the presence of God in his life. And I would submit to you this morning that, as the psalmist reminds us, God is the one who will always be your strength and your help if you will allow him to remain in your life. The Bible says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, in Psalm 46 and in verse 1. But also we see that he thanked God for his provision. Look down in verse 15. He blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. He acknowledged right here, how is it possible that all of my needs have been met throughout my life, it has been by God. How is it that your needs will be met today? How is it that your needs will be met this week? How is it that you will have the provision for your daily needs? You will find it through a wondering faith in Almighty God. But what is it that we oftentimes do? We become self-sufficient and we try and find it in ourselves. And we try and look for what we can do, as opposed to acknowledging God is the one who is ultimately going to meet all of my needs. But not only did he thank him for his provision and for his presence, but he thanked him for his protection. There in verse 16, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. And let my name be named on them in the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. And let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. As you and I walk with God and demonstrate a wondering faith, it ought to be that we can acknowledge God's protective hand upon us. No. Just driving around in Northern Virginia ought to scare some of us half to death when you see how people drive these days. I went down and took a trip to Williamsburg to a preacher's meeting this last Tuesday and saw where an 18-wheeler had gone over a guardrail and had gone down into a ravine that was right there on 95. Saw another accident while I was there on the interstate. And you think, but by the grace of God, that could have been me. But how is it that we can have the protection of God upon us? By having faith in Him. By not saying, oh, well, it was luck. Oh, well, it was just a coincidence. Oh, well, no, looking back and saying, God has placed His hand upon me. He is the one who has redeemed me from all evil. But then also we realize when we talk about the presence of God in his life, he knew that the same God who had guided him would continue to guide his sons. And in verse 21 of chapter 48, Israel said unto Joseph, that's Jacob again, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. When we think of our children, and if God has seen fit to bless you with grandchildren or great-grandchildren, this morning you ought to find wondering faith in knowing that as your children and grandchildren will trust in God, the same God that has guided you will continue to guide them for generations yet to come. Now, we can't always be there for our children. We can't always be there if God has blessed you with grandchildren or with great-grandchildren. But our God will always be there. And lastly, we see, when we think of the wonder of the past and what God had done in Jacob's life and where God had brought him from. We think of the wonder of the future, thanking God for his presence, for his provision, for his protection, for his guidance. We also see for God's promise. Look with me, if you would, in Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. And in verse 8, the Bible says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh literally means sent and refers to the coming Messiah whose earthly lineage would be traced through Joseph going back to Judah. As the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 2, Abraham begat Isaac and Isaac begat Jacob and Jacob begat Judas or Judah. and his brethren. And if you would continue down in the passage, you would see that that would lead up to the earthly lineage down through Joseph. How wonderful it is that Jacob, hundreds of years before the Messiah would ever come and step foot on this earth, was able to have faith in the promises of God. He knew that God someday was going to send a Messiah, a Savior. He didn't necessarily know his name would be Jesus Christ, but he knew that God was going to come down and manifest himself and would draw all men unto himself. Have you stopped this last week to thank God for the promise of a returning Messiah? Have you stopped to thank God at the wonder of the future in anticipation when Jesus Christ will come back to claim us as his own? There are some parting thoughts that we find in Hebrews chapter 11, back in our original verse. As Jacob blessed both the sons of Joseph, and this verse, we know, is actually a quotation coming from Genesis 47:31, where the Bible says, "He said, swear unto me, and he swear unto him, and Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head." That word bed's head, or the foot of the bed, could also be translated staff here, as is indicated in verse 21. But the concept that the writer to the Hebrews wants us to appreciate when it came to Jacob was that as he approached death at the most, humanly speaking, darkest hour of his life, he was able to look forward in anticipation of God fulfilling his promise to his future generations. And there at that deathbed, he was able to bless others. He was also able to bless his Creator. It says that he blessed both the sons of Joseph and he worshiped. Now, this morning, maybe you would say, "I didn't receive Christ as early as I would have liked to." We can't change the past, but we have a lot to look forward to in the future. Maybe you look at your family and you say, "Well, if only I had been like him, or if only I had been like her." Now, this morning, what God desires for you to do is as Jacob did, and make the most of this moment so that you today can demonstrate an increasing faith in Almighty God. But perhaps this morning my entire message has been somewhat confusing to you, because perhaps you have never come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If that is the case today, then you cannot understand the wonder of Jacob's faith. You cannot understand the wonder of salvation until you come and repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ once and for all to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sins. And I think sometimes when we talk about salvation, it's easy to misconstrue what salvation is. Have you ever thought about your own personal testimony? Could you this morning, if someone were to put you on the spot, immediately relate to them how Jesus Christ came into your life and changed you? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if you have been born again, you will be a new creature. And there will be a change, because the old things will pass away and all things will be made new. If there's not a time in your life where you could easily recall a change having been made, and perhaps this morning you don't have a saving faith. Maybe you've gone through the motions. Maybe you've been in church. Maybe you've been raised in church. Perhaps you've been raised at Fairfax Baptist Temple and still do not possess a saving faith. Keep in mind that when we get to heaven, it's not a matter of where our church membership was, but it's a matter of where God was in relation to our heart. Did we believe with our hearts? And that's why you can find people that can quickly give you an answer, but it's from the head and it's not coming from the heart. Jacob had a very rough start, and yet God greatly used him. Today, stop and wonder at all that God has done. And then ask yourself, am I truly appreciative? Do I truly understand how great my God is? You too can be like Jacob and have a wondering faith if you will put that faith in God and God alone. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jacob, who became Israel, the supplanter who became a prince with God. And Father, this morning, I thank you for the change that occurred in my life when, as a young child, I was able to realize that Jesus Christ was my only hope of salvation and was able, as a young child, to repent of my sins and put my faith and trust in him. And God, I do stand today in awe at the wonder of salvation. Father, I thank you this morning for the many here who would also echo my sentiments and say, yes, by God's grace, through faith in him, my sins have been washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And I too am amazed at the wonder of salvation. But God, this morning, I'm certain that there are those that are here that have never genuinely received forgiveness of their sins and put their faith and trust in you. Father, there are those here that perhaps are trusting in their works. They're trusting in their background. They're trusting in the family in which they were raised, but they're not trusting in their faith in Jesus Christ alone. I pray today, God, that you would speak to their hearts. And Lord, for those who are saved, Father, may our faith give us the strength to live every day for you. And Father, even when we cannot see what is yet in store, may our faith not waver. But God, may we simply trust in the promises that are given to us in your holy word. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, if you're here this morning and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, your faith and trust is plainly put in the blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else, and heaven will be your eternal home someday because of your faith in him, would you raise your hand to give testimony of that to me and to God today? No one is looking around, but you'd say, yes, that is my personal testimony, and have absolutely no doubt whatsoever. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Several of you did not raise your hands, and I certainly appreciate your honesty. With heads still bowed and eyes still closed, if you'd say this morning, Pastor, I haven't had a life-changing moment. There has not been a time when Jesus Christ came into my heart and forgave me of all my sins. But you'd say today, I'd like to be made new in God's eyes. I'd like to be made a part of the family of God and to be born again. If that is your prayer today, would you hold your hand up for just a moment that I might remember you in my prayer? I'll not call you out by name, won't single you out in any way. I'd just like to be able to remember to pray for you. You'd say, I need to have my sins forgiven. Yes, you may put your hand down. Anyone else? I desire to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven will be my home. The last question that I have today, for those of you that already know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your sins are forgiven, how many of you would say, lately, I haven't taken the time to simply stand in awe and wonder at God's work in my life? You'd say, maybe I've been so focused on the struggles and trials and how things have not gone the way that I would have chosen, or perhaps I've spent too much time lamenting over what's happened in the past. But you'd say today, Pastor, pray for me that I will exercise today and forward a wondering faith, thanking God for his presence, for his provision, for his protection, and above all, for the promise of a soon coming Son of God, Jesus Christ, who will come back to this earth very soon. If that's your prayer today, would you hold your hand up for just a moment? You'd say, yes, that is my desire. I do wish have a greater focus on him. Many hands are lifted. Thank you. You may put those down. Our Father in heaven, God, we don't always understand why things go the way they do in our lives. But Lord, help us to stand in awe and wonder. And God, even in the difficult times, even in the darkest hours, may our faith stand firm on you. May we look for opportunities to be a blessing to others. And may we focus all of our praise and worship on you and you alone. God, I pray for the one that lifted their hand this morning saying that they need a saving faith. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would do His will and work in their heart. And Lord, for those who have raised their hands today saying their faith is wavering, it is not the wondering faith as it could be or perhaps as it has been in the past, I pray today, Lord, that they will come and simply pour out their heart before you and allow God to do an even greater work and increase their faith in an almighty God. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.